Good morning. Praise the Lord. Let me acknowledge my humility this morning to be in your midst, and also not only to be in your midst, but also to have the privilege to read you in the Word of God this very special Sunday, being the first one. My name is Michael, born again. Jesus, Lord and Savior of my soul, my life. And nobody rejoices, and I'm always grateful to God, because if there is something important that He has given to me, it's only by the way I praise the Lord. I like saying this because this is what I believe and this is what I know.
Gracious and everlasting Father, we want to surrender ourselves this morning in your hands. We have praised you, we have exalted you. We have also made our petitions and our supplications known unto you, as we have also sought for forgiveness, so that our sacrifice may be acceptable for you. We want to ring before your table this morning, that you may share with us what you have reserved for us and prepared for us this morning. We open our hearts unto you as we seek that you open our inner ears and physical ears so that we may hear what you have prepared for us. For this humble prayer, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday I was here when there was this Holy Communion service. And I realized some of you didn't attend or join or were not partakers of the Holy Communion. Maybe two reasons. One, you are not baptized. Secondly, you are not confirmed. Kindly, after this service, if you are not baptized, see me. If you are not confirmed so that you may be partaker of the Holy Communion, also see me after this sermon. Is that okay? Yeah, I will take care of everything and make sure that you will not be a spectator when it is a Holy Communion service. You'll be a prayer, if not Hallelujah. So good. As I was updated the other day before yesterday, that I should be coming to fellowship and share word of God together with you. There's one thing that I was reminding myself that I have been this ministry for some time. I began preaching when I was in secondary school, and I have grown up doing this thing up to date. And I was saying this to myself because there are many versions of the Bible that are being written each and every day, if not being written. And of the last one that I have come across is the agenda-sensitive Bible. And I was saying this to myself, and I will continue to say this wherever I'm going, that many people are coming in different versions so that they may be able to prove or provide a document, I'm calling it a document, to provide a document that will be able to cater for their interest. But I'm here to say this, that God is not going to rewrite the Bible for you or for us. Therefore, I would encourage every one of us not to try to see the word of God, because the Bible was written to teach. Praise the Lord. The Bible was written to do what? Yeah, the Bible was prepared and was given to those who are given so that it may change us or bring transformation in our lives. But you are not there to transform the Bible. Praise the Lord. So as much of us are saying and teach us that the Bible is not gender sensitive, I don't know when it is going to happen. But God, in His one way, will take care of His people. Today, I have an expository sermon, delighted from the book of Matthew 6 and verse 25 to 30. And my key verse is verse 33. That is my key verse. Is verse 33. But before then, just want to give you a brief background of this book of Matthew. The book of Matthew is among the four Gospels in the Holy Bible, and it is the first one in the chronological order presented in the New Testament of the Bible. And on top of that, we call it is among the synoptic or the three similar Gospels that almost reflect one another. Matthew himself was one of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ throughout his public ministry here on earth. Those who have taken initiative or studied theology, they say that there is a consensus among the conservative scholars, if not theologians, that this book was written somewhere in between 50 to 70 AD. Matthew as a person was a Jewish and a tax collector who left his profession to follow Jesus Christ. The book of Matthew gives a personal witness account of many miracles that Jesus Christ performed before he was crucified. The main objective of this book is to prove to me and you that Jesus Christ is a true Messiah who was prophesied in the OT, or the Old Testament. And it says it is a mystically written book and proves to be consistent with other three Gospels, that is Mark, Luke, and John, regarding the historical events that occurred during the life of Jesus Christ here on earth. It is also the longest Gospel because it has got 28 chapters. I have said the key verse for today is verse 3 that says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." This verse is an incredible promise to me and you. However, its emphasis is on God's provision, which me and you, we often lose sight of it regarding the kingdom of God. One of the scholars once gave a story. The story was of an old man who had a yellow dog. Don't ask me whether you can find a yellow dog. And then a young man who was arrogant challenged the old man's dog for a fight. And he said, "This yellow dog of yours cannot be able to whip my dog here," said the young man. The old gentleman who had a yellow dog politely refused the challenge, saying it would cause or it just make the dogs to have a fight which would not be good for them. But this young man gave an order for this dog to attack the old man's mighty yellow dog. And when the dust settled after the fight of the two dogs, the young man's dog was already defeated. He asked this question: "What kind of a yellow dog do you have that have priced me off, my good dog?" The old man said, "Before I cut off this tail and painted him yellow, my dog was an alligator." The same thing applies to us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Something late might be a bigger bite than you think, so don't take it lightly. Because it says critically, it says openly and honestly. First, seek what? First, seek what? And the rest shall be done what? So, see to tafte utajiri, see to tafte yale mengine, but kwanza to tafte ufalme wa Mungu, ama ufalme wa Mungu. And therefore, as we seek this, the first thing I want us to understand, you must see the reality. You must see what? The reality. Jesus declares the existence of a new and a different kingdom. But his reference is to seek the kingdom reminds us that there is more reality that we can see, feel, hear, or taste. Prophet Isaiah warned of those who had eyes but could not see, who had ears but could not hear. And therefore, Jesus battled throughout his ministry the temptation that many Israel embraced to make him a military or a political leader to deliver them from the occupation of Rome. That is what the many Jews have been expecting. And that is why when you go today in the land of Israel, there is a certain elite of Jews who say that our Messiah is not yet, because they expect a military-like person will come with a big battalion from heaven so that he will come and take over whatever belongs to them, and then they will have a kingdom with him. That is not what Jesus was. And so, when Jesus asked why he told his parables, he explained that the spiritual truth is a secret that cannot be understood by those dominated by material things and cursed hearts. That one you can capture it in Matthew chapter 13 at your time. And that is why the apostles in Ephesus pray for God to open their eyes or their hearts, because genuine faith is a spiritual reality that transcends our material existence and our social status. As this man is one of the great theologians, and like him is called John Edwin, once accurately identifies the resonating appeal of popular stories to communicate the truth, the things that are not what they seem to be. And that is why you look and discover that there is some sort of forces that are there and they cannot help you to appeal what you think it is necessary. And therefore, you live in what you call, you live in an illusion. It's like you are grasping what is being said, but because you don't want to acknowledge you have not grasped anything, you just assume, yes, I have understood, but that is not reality. You just assume you know everything. And that is why being said, you cannot fool anybody else, but you can only fool yourself before you fool us. And so, when the Israelites of today, they have the imaginary of a kingdom, of a military life, instead of a family or a home, they forget that Paul has been called to serve this kingdom and to seek its righteousness. Many of us have forgotten to appreciate that this kingdom is not only different from others, but it is the kingdom that us, its people, should take it. And therefore, I know this thing for sure. When we got born again, there was this saying, and I don't know whether it exists even today. It was me, I got born again in the month of October, it was on 14th. And there was this thing that came. Let's wait and see whether it is going to last for about 2 weeks. 2 weeks for over a month. And therefore, the next month was the month of November. And they say, well, but I told you to come and hook sleep on Christmas here, but who? At the door. Those are the enemies of this kingdom. So, after that, we see me at Christmas in the Peter Zaidi at 25. Now, Bado Nikola Ileima, Imani. So, what am I saying to you? That this kingdom have enemies. And therefore, it is for you to know those who oppose it or who oppose the Christ are the enemies that we need to understand. And therefore, it would be unfortunate for me and you to live in ignorance of spiritual warfare, because it is the most naive and dangerous thing a Christian like me and you we can do. And that's what I'm saying. We should not get used to the word of God. We should not get used to giving testimony. We should not get used by saying, oh, it's enemy of God, Christ will be born in Africa. You need to tell us how God has done to you. You need us to give us a testimony. I was in a sad situation, and this is how I managed. I was in a sad situation, I called upon God, and He was able to cure me in a way. Like now, I have a lot of testimony to give them, to show how reality is to wait upon this God and to seek His kingdom, and ensure the rest shall be all ordered and to you shall follow you. That was in the year 2007, about 2008 February. My dad had passed on 2007, the month of August. And so we agreed together with my mother and the rest secret that we are going to do something we call a pray. It is called what? Gen succession, what? Some exactly you have been saying about succession. Succession in Kumanisha. Sasa mani idoki kwa mwenye amekufa ikuje kwa wenye waliuha uhai. Is that the way? Yes, that is how it is being said. So we applied for the same. But in the process, we realized brother to my father had done something we call put a lot of caution on various pastors of the land, because he had an interest. So when there is a caution on those lands, the succession cannot go through. Is that okay? Yeah, it can't go through until you clear the mess. So after negotiating with this brother of my father, this didn't work in my favor. And he became rude and arrogant, and at the end of the day he told me, there's no way you're going to get anything out of that. Then I asked a person of the same caliber with my sister, who I had initiated to do that. This lady told me, now the only person who can help you on this is the registrar of the land, and for you to get that person, I think you need to look for the mighty people to lead you there. And I went home a very, very, very disappointed young man. I was not old like I am today. And so, I said, you know, I love my mom so much. So when I say to myself, if I tell my mom this breaking story, I'll crash her soul. So I stayed with it for about 2 days. Then I said to myself, my God, I have known you. I have been walking with you. And I need you to walk with me. I prayed for 3 good days. And I had purpose that on Wednesday, I'll go to Kiambu to see this registrar. And I don't need a God, a father. I don't need a person in the government, but I know I have a father in heaven and he's going to take care of me. So after praying for the 3 days, on Wednesday morning, I woke up and prepared myself. I wore a black suit and a white shirt and a red tie. And I took the folder with all information I had required. And then I just knelt down inside the house and said, God, today is the day that I have been asking you to go with me. And I know the doors shall be opened for me. So I left home around 6:30 and I went to Kiambu. When I went to Kiambu, to the registrar of the land office, I found a bench with about 8 persons seated there, so there was no space for me. So I stood there with my envelope or my folder like this. Then after like 10 minutes of standing there, nothing is being done. There was this lady came in, and I think she was a secretary to the registrar. She came in, she went direct to the office. I saw her come back to the reception. I can see her switching on the system, the computer, the reception. And then all of a sudden, she decides to walk out. She comes and passes, goes past us, and after 3 steps, she halts and comes back to my hand and asks me, "Good morning, sir. How can I help you?" And I say to her, "No, I am supposed to see registrar, nobody else. She is the one I want to see." Then this lady says to me, "Just a minute." She goes directly to the office inside with the report, registrar's office. She goes inside there. Then for about 3 minutes, she comes out. She comes directly to me, "Boss, the madam says you can get in. Praise the Lord." And so when I was inside the office, I shared my information with this lady. And I have never forgotten her. She was called Grace Momo. I don't know where she's working now. And after sharing with her whatever I was going through and whatever I wanted to be done, this is the beauty of seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Imagine even the breakfast she had, we shared together with her. I sat there for like 45 minutes. The files were being called from all corners of that registry, large registry. They were reporting there, they were being rectified, and by the time I was leaving the office, she told me, "Just a minute, let me call the secretary." The secretary was called and she was told, "Anything concerning these pastors of the land, anybody who have an issue, whenever he or she comes, let him or her come to my office." And she assured me, "Young man, I have taken responsibility to take care of you until you are through with this succession." Praise the Lord. Is that not a miracle? It is a miracle because in me there was a reality, and there is a reality even today, that if I seek the kingdom of God first, then the rest shall be added unto you. Not the physical thing, even having that fever. You know, you are going to marry my marika, you see. Even I want to give a man, everybody is bothered. Why these guys are sitting at the back? What do I have to take it on a plate? I'm there. And that is the reality. So, the other thing is to submit to the author. I mean, set priority. In this version, Jesus is the ruler of a new kingdom. And he's calling me and you to make a pursuing his kingdom a priority. Because we are called to seek first the kingdom of God. And therefore, we are being asked to make the kingdom of God our primary concern, if not our primary responsibility. The word first is not a reference to time, but it is a reference to quality. The verb, the value. The sense of above all things is obvious in Matthew 3, that because Jesus is not teaching that we should seek the kingdom first. first and then the other things. But there should be an exclusive orientation to the divine kingdom and its righteousness. Jesus further qualifies the significance of his kingdom, that we do not pursue his kingdom as the first of several stops on a journey, as it was in the case of Galatians, where Apostle Paul rebuked the church because of turning to legalistic practices to accomplish or maintain redemption after having trusted God for love and salvation. And this is where many temptations are coming in. And this is a question that has been cast across, and I know, Baba Maida, you have come across these fellows. They are calling themselves Aduria Giyama Giyama. Have you come across them? So they are Christians, but they like confusing themselves as they look forward to confuse me and you. This is what they are saying in the Bible. My name is so and so. I'm a Kikuyu, and I'm a Christian, praise the Lord. You also say amen. That is what they are telling us. Have you come across the Baba Maida? And then I am asking myself, the question that comes to me is this. Some of them, I knew them as elders in the church, and they used to do a lot of good work in the ministry or in the service. But all of a sudden, I told one of them, hey, can you go and read the book of Galatians once again? And look whether you are among the people that Paul was saying. You began in the spirit, now you are letting in flesh. So what am I saying to you? Set this kingdom of God as a priority number one. Then let's forget about them. And so these fellas, as much as I have a lot of issues with them, I have been telling them my priority is one. That I have Jesus, and I need Jesus, and I will live for Jesus, and all that is what I know. The rest is for you. Because I don't know where else we have a sacrifice like that almost done by Jesus Christ. So you mambo ingine ya kuniambia mambo ya busi, hiyo ni yenu na jamii yenu. And I would like to encourage you young people, because these teachings are coming every day. Take care of them. Therefore, as an aspect of kingdom being a priority, the command is here for me and you, that you have to pursue it, and you have to remain vigilant, and you have to make sure that our source of inspiration is seeking the kingdom of God. Nothing else. And out of that, we will make it. Lastly, but not the least, the calling of seek the kingdom of God and the lesson be added unto you. You are being urged. Kindly submit to the authority of God in heaven. Praise the Lord. Submit to the authority of God in heaven. You know, many of us have submitted to various authorities. As much as many people say that I'm my mommy's boy, I'm mommy's boy, there's one thing that I have never allowed. As much as I know I am a mommy's boy, I have never submitted my authority to my mama. Praise the Lord. I'm not a rude boy, and I'm not an arrogant boy. You know, when my mom loves me so much, there's one thing I know. She just wants to treasure me. And she has a good way about my today and my tomorrow. And reason is, she's my mother. And on the other side, the chemistry between me and my mother works very well. As I know, for today, as God has given me a son and a boy. Sometimes I find my chemistry doing well with my daughter. I don't know why. But it's for you to study and understand why. So I'm more close to my mother. I feel also today also attached to my daughter. That is something for you to understand. But what am I saying to you? The call upon is submitting to the authority. Praise the Lord. I've never allowed my mom to make decisions in my life, but I always did to her advice. Praise the Lord. To compromise. Yeah, because out of what I know, my mom loves me so much. So if I allow her to take care of my decisions, I will forget I have a life to live, and I will continue living life of my mother. Are we together? I'm not saying that you should be rude to your parents. You are still young. No, I'm quite old now. I have got my family. But what am I saying to you? To submit to the authority is what we are being called upon. The founder of Salvation Army, his name is William Booth, was asked about the secret of his success and the impact that the salvation was having upon the world. Booth paused and spoke with tearful eyes, and he said, "I will tell you the secret. God has offered me this, or this of me." What did he mean? That there have been men and greater men with better brains and greater minds and talents and opportunities. But from the day I got a vision for what Jesus could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth, and there I was. Praise the Lord. He submitted to the authority of who called him. This is William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army. Because the point I'm trying to bring here is that when he was called to take care of the poor street families in London, he submitted to authority of who he called. And therefore, my calling upon you this morning is, let us submit to this God. Let us submit, because the Bible is asking us this morning, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. So you have to submit to this authority. You have to submit. And therefore, General Booth knew that the Salvation Army had only one commander, a chief whose rank and power has surpasses all the future attempts by any other given person. And therefore, from his basic understanding of what he wanted to do, he just took verse 33 of Matthew chapter 6 and he said that from now, I know through from this basic understanding that God is not interested in building your kingdom, but he is extremely committed to meeting your needs that empower you to build his kingdom. Praise the Lord. And therefore, what he might say is that when God is calling you to submit to him, he is not calling you to submit so that you may become a weak ring, but he is calling you to submit to this kingdom, or to submit to this authority, so that he may be able to add value in your life, so that you may become what he wants you to be. Praise the Lord. And so when the people will be seeing you, they will be saying, wow, since so and so joined this work of salvation, he has been able to see this and has been able to manage this and this. Finally, the calling of Matthew 6 and verse 33. It is a call for me and you that we have to, whether we like it or not, we have to strive for purity. We have to strive for purity. The divine provision revealed in this text is a striving for purity. Is that we must recognize the reign of God is not only powerful, but it is also pure, holy, and righteous. text is not suggesting to seek a personal license, but it's certainly promoting striving for a personal purity. Striving for a personal purity. Because we have not been called as a crowd. I was called as an individual. And I am striving for this purity as an individual. So I must take responsibility. I must strive for it, because God's provision is not found at convenience stores offering items for temporary pleasures. No. The book of James chapter 4 and verse 3 says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly, so that you may spend it on your desires for pleasure. But this world has a lot to offer, but it does not provide what we need. Because Matthew 6 and 33 is not name it and claim it, but it's a promise for God to give you anything you desire. So what you seek may not be found on the shelves of God's storehouse, but God's own cattle, cows, and things are not valuable. But if you are not willing, if you are not willing to eat steak and drink milk, you can go hungry. Therefore, the promise here is for me to legitimate all those needs that God is requiring to have. And therefore, as the Philippians 4:19 says, that God's provision is coming from the reservoir of his riches and glory. And therefore, that is why we have this story of the prodigal son. Because if you become a son of Jesus Christ, if you become among those people who belong to the kingdom of God, there's so much to worry about. Because the kingdom is yours, you belong there. And that is why all of us belong. And this is how I reflect it. You must look for it. And you have to seek the face of the one who is holy, as we experience his goodness through of his mighty hand, so that we can continue to reflect what this goodness is all about. And therefore, I want to conclude by this story of a young boy. When he was his father, they saw an ex coin on the Lord. This man, or the father, is the occasion to tell his son about the date of landing onto the Lord when cars were passing by. A few days later, the mom's boy buckled in his car seat and reminded him that seat belts provided for his safety. The mom said, if you were in a car wreck, this seat belt and car seat would help to protect us. She said, I know, said the boy. The boy continued to say, and the dad said that when you get hit by a car, you turn into a screw. Is that possible? This is what the young boy told the mother. We may not understand, or we laugh at the boy's failure to understand the father's instruction, because the father was telling the boy, if you misbehave on the Lord, you might be knocked down by a car. But the father never told the boy, when you are misbehaving on the Lord and you are knocked down by a car, you turn into a screw. And therefore, failure to understand his father's instruction, it is also our failure to understand and apply the promises of our Heavenly Father, as it is not a matter of matter. So God may have made an incredible promise to care for us with a greater concern than the flowers and the birds of the air, but he also instructed us where and how to find his provision than the earth, or to seek his kingdom and his righteousness.